Good morning, church family. Wow, you guys look beautiful today. Ryan, you look good back there drinking your coffee. Good to see you, my friend. Hey, you keep coming back. You keep coming back, I'll keep preaching the hard stuff. It's been good. If I haven't got a chance to meet you yet, my name's Pastor Jeremy. I serve as the lead pastor here. Maybe you've been coming for the past week or past 2 weeks or something, and you haven't taken a next step yet. Let me draw your attention again to that card in the back of the seat in front of you. Please do me a huge favor. Fill that thing out. I want to get to know you. I want to know your story. I want to see what brings you here, what God has in store for you, because it's important to know what direction we're going, right? We can all just come to church and just hang out in a seat and get fed a little bit on a Sunday, you know, get challenged, and then go back to our normal life in the next weeks. And so do that for me. That way we can take next steps and help you guys get connected with the lifeblood of where God is taking our church. Again, if you don't know us yet, my wife and I, she's helping with the kids, but we've only been here since November. Beautiful valley, beautiful people, and we're just blessed. We're glad to be here. It's not summer yet. I used to complain because, you know, back home it was snowing all the time. Like, it was a couple weeks ago, it was like -5 degrees. So I am not missing that whatsoever. But so as we dive into this message, it's called Taming the Tongue. Ooh. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't always been a Christian. And I used to say things that I didn't even know were bad things. But I would say things that I didn't mean sometimes. And it's funny because I was telling my team earlier, it's like, man, this sermon was like 20 pages long. No, maybe not 20, it's like 15. And I'm like, I have a lot to say about the things that come out of our mouth. How they can tear down, how they can build up, how they can do certain things to our relationships. And I'm like, well, you know what? I have to get rid of some of this because we'll be here till 1 o'clock in the afternoon if I do that. And you guys are going to say, thank you. Thank you. And so I gotta keep it real. I gotta be like, okay, what is James saying in this? What is God saying through James in this situation? Because I know I've said hurtful things to so many people. I still do it today, even as a pastor, and don't even realize it sometimes. You know, I can be like, say a certain topic or say a certain thing, and be like, oh, and kind of laugh it off like it's no big deal, but not realizing that sometimes people put a lot of work and a lot of effort into something. And then we can not see the work and the hard work that they put into it, and we kind of laugh it off like it's a no big deal. That hurts. Our words hurt people. And there's times where I make an excuse, you know, I didn't mean that. And we're going to dive in and see what James says about these words and the power that they carry. They either have the words that give life or take life. They build up or they tear down. So if you got your Bibles ready, James 3. I'm planning to have this done in 5 more weeks. It was supposed to be a 6-week sermon, and here we are. We got 5 more weeks to go. I can't help it. That's what I mean. You guys seem like you're really encouraged by it. You're really challenged by it, right? That's the point here. And so James 3, I'm going to read through this whole text here, and then we're going to break it down. Not many of you should become teachers. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what they say, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put a bit in the mouth of a horse so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is small, is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a wildfire, small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of our life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord our and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in his in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things should not be so. Does a spring pour forth the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt pond yield fresh water. Father in heaven, that's a lot. We thank you for James. We thank you for his closeness to Jesus as his half-brother. And as he was discipled and Jesus poured his life into James also. Let him speak to us today. Let us not find condemnation today in these words, but find conviction on how we can be the men and women you've called us to be. Let our words give life and give us a heart that will feel and be changed by you, and give us ears to hear what you want to receive today so that we can share it with our mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, James doesn't hold anything back here, does he? He's going straight for our throat, warning us that this little piece of flesh in our mouth, this little muscle in our mouth, has the power to direct our entire lives. Just like a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a small ship, as he said in the script, he's not just talking about cuss words here. You know, I used to say this to my guys when I was in a recovery farm and I was the director out there. I used to say to the guys, if you cuss, don't if you say bad things, don't take this to heart. But here's my challenge for you. Think of a better way to articulate the words that come out of your mouth with something that's life-giving and not draining. Cuss words. God, only God can change us. I used to cuss like a sailor. I'm not even going to lie. But God has been working in my heart. As he works in my heart, I find myself not saying those type of things anymore. Don't worry, God can't love you any more or any less than he already does. And he's not talking about cuss words or these crude jokes, you know. He's talking about the poison that drips from our lips, the gossip, the slander, the angry words, the careless comments that cut deeper than a knife. We've all been there. We've all felt it. We've also delivered it. But the question here is, do you control your tongue or does it control you? According to James, it's either leading you towards life or it's setting your entire world on fire. James 1 and 2, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. This was one of those scriptures that told me that I didn't want to become a pastor. This was one of them. What, judged more? Wow. It says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So let's talk about it. Not many of you should become teachers. That's how James starts out. I mean, he never sugarcoats from the beginning to the end. He's just jumping straight in. There are some roles in life that come with extra weight. Teachers, pastors, mentors, even as a parent, I don't know about you, but you need to understand that your life as a parent, you are a teacher to your children. What you do and what you say is how your children are going to grow up. Are you giving life or taking life from them? And let me say it this way, because I grew up, I was a troubled kid. I was a troubled kid, and I had a few men in my life that would speak life, and I had a few men to say you weren't going to amount to anything. And I can sit here and say the names of those people who said it. Why? Because it cut like a knife. I remember the names of those teachers and those people who said I was never going to amount to anything. They linger, they stay because they hurt. We have These positions aren't just titles. They help shape lives. That's why it's so important, because those positions shape lives by the things that come out of our mouth. God is holding us accountable to what we say. So think of it like this. Imagine you're lying on an operating table, right? You're about to have a life-saving surgery. The surgeon walks in, but instead of being carefully preparing, and he comes in and he's laughing, he might be taking the scalpel and throwing it up and laughing around, playing on his phone, checking text messages, and you're about to have a life-altering surgery. And he's not taking it seriously. You'd be terrified, wouldn't you? Because the scalpel that he's throwing around isn't a toy. It's a tool that can either save a life or take a life. It's a tool. It's not just something that you jump into because you want attention or influence. If you're on the stage because you want attention and you want people to see you, I'm telling you now, I'm not the best preacher in the world, and I know that. I don't like getting up here every week. I have to because God's called me to it. I'd rather do life with you in small groups and hang out and those kind of things than get up here and teach, because I know that this is stricter as a teacher. But I also know that the words that I choose are like that scalpel, that tool. That tool can cut away lies in your life. They can heal wounds. It can bring truth. Or I can do immense damage with my words. Here's the thing. In today's world, get this. You all know this. In today's world, everyone is holding a scalpel. And everyone wants to be heard. People throwing out advice on finances and on marriages and on theology. And guess what? They're not qualified. We're taking the advice of unqualified people. Every tweet, every post, every conversation, it's all shaping somebody's lives. So we need to think about the things that we say and the words that we say. Because again, it's a tool that can cut to the heart. It's tools that can give life or take life. The question is, are we using the words for healing, or are we carelessly cutting people open without even knowing what we're doing? I can't tell you how many times I've seen people post a good thing on Facebook, and then you got some trained person speaking their opinion on something. And they said, well, I just had to unfriend that person. Good, unfriend them. If they're not speaking truth and they're tearing down in the message, get rid of them. You ain't got no time in your life for people like that. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. James doesn't say some of us stumble. He says we all stumble in this. Every one of us in many different ways. But then he zeroes in on one specific struggle, the tongue and what we say. James isn't making a bold statement here. If you control your mouth, you control your entire life. Think about that. He's saying that the words that we speak aren't just random slip-ups. They're indicators of our self-control. Again, the person who cusses and has struggles with that shows that there's less control in what they say. How many times have you slipped up saying a word that you don't usually say? Come on, you can be real. We're in church, it's okay. We all do it. Maybe it's not a cuss word. I'm not using. Sometimes we say something that we don't mean. It just comes out of us. We're going to talk about why it comes out of us. Ever tried to hold your tongue in an argument? I just burst your bubble where all those people didn't raise their hands. Have you ever tried to stay silent when you wanted to just lash out and share your opinion on something? That goes to say about how much control you have over your tongue. Because what comes out of your mouth isn't just about discipline. It's about what's really inside of you. Oh my goodness, I struggle with that so bad. I apologize. I have a lot to say when I'm in conversation. And here's one of my weaknesses that I know. I can be in conversation one-on-one with somebody and hanging out with them. Ask Jason, we had breakfast this morning, and he was talking, and I'd like cut him off. Because I had something to say. I couldn't control my tongue, and I wanted to respond to what he was saying. And I didn't listen to what he was saying because I had a response already to say. So I apologize, Jason. He's probably like, I didn't even notice. I notice when I do these things because I want to be better at these things. I want to be able to have self-control over my mouth. Imagine how I love this. Jesus says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Imagine you're holding a cup of coffee. I love perspective. You love perspective? Imagine you're holding a cup of coffee, walking through a crowded room. Suddenly somebody bumps into you, and the coffee spills everywhere. Why did the coffee come out of the cup? Most of you would say, well, because somebody bumped into me. No, coffee came out of the cup because there was coffee in the cup. If it had been water, water would have came out of the cup. If it was juice, juice would have came out of the cup. The bump just revealed what was already inside the cup. That's what happens when life bumps us. When we're stressed, frustrated, caught off guard, our words in those moments reveal what's inside of us. When you get a bump, what comes out? If you have anger or bitterness or pride, that's what spills out when you're bumped. It's not just about a bad habit. It's about what's in your heart. Well, I can't stop cussing because I'm just used to doing it. No, what you say the negative things or you do the cussing because it's what's in your heart. It's what's coming out of your heart. So we got to change our heart in order for new things to come out of our mouth. Only God can do that. So the real question is, I'm getting way ahead of myself on some of this. The real question is, can I control my tongue? It's what's inside of me. What's inside of me that keeps spilling out? Verse 3 and 5. When we put bits into the mouth of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. James gives us two powerful pictures here. A tiny bit in a horse's mouth and a small rudder on a massive ship. Both are extremely small compared to the things that they control. Yet both have the power to steer something much larger than they are. And it's much like that with our words. Have you ever had someone say something to you that completely changed your day? Maybe it was a simple compliment. Hey, you're doing a really good job today. I see you. I see the work that you're doing. Or man, I greatly appreciate that. And suddenly, your whole day, you feel seen. You feel valued. You feel encouraged. But on the other opposite end of that is also true. One careless comment like, wow, you actually did a good job. Or, I didn't expect that from you. These things can sting and ruin your day. A small phrase But it does carry a lot of weight, doesn't it? Words seem small, but they have massive influence in the direction and the moods of our day and the people around you. Do you see what's going on here? Paul is saying that the words in your mouth are more powerful than probably anything else that you can do or say. I love Proverbs 15:4. It says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." The words, your words steer your life. They shape your relationships, your reputation, and your future. One harsh word can end a friendship. One lie can destroy trust. One cruel comment can scar someone for life. James takes it even further. "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast." James isn't just talking about the power of words. Now he's going to expose the pride behind them. The tongue loves to brag. We like to talk about our success, our status, our wisdom, our opinions. We want people to notice us, respect us, admire us, and we want people to see us. Boasting is all about making ourselves look good. And this often leads to a lie. It leads to pride. It leads to criticism. It leads to comparison about you and somebody else. We exaggerate. We manipulate. We tear others down just to make ourselves feel bigger and better. Did you not know that that is what brought sin into the world? I can be better. I want to know when Adam and Eve sinned, it was a pride issue. They wanted what God had because the deceiver said that they would be like God, and they weren't okay with just being in the presence of God. They wanted to be like God. And that is not biblical, because God says there's no one after me and there's no one before me. There is no other gods. That means I'm not a God. That means you're not a God. Nor do I want that job. It's hard enough just teaching. That's why James ends with this vivid picture. A small spark can set an entire forest on fire. Your words, your prideful speech might seem like a small spark, but unchecked, it spreads, it burns relationship, it scorches reputations, it leaves behind nothing but ash. Verses 5 and 6 says, "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell." We've all seen a fire get out of control, right? We've seen California and all the stuff. One spark sets a blaze. Think about a campfire. You drop a match and it can ignite a blaze that's impossible to stop. It spreads so quickly, consuming everything in its path. The same is true with our words. How many times have you had one person... No, let me say it this way. You said one thing to somebody else, and that one thing went from one person to the next person to the next person to the next person. It became gossip, and it destroyed a relationship that you thought was a safe relationship that wasn't supposed to be shared. So because one person, and again, it's not always us that does this. It's other people that we've allowed in our lives that struggle with taming the tongue. It's not just you taming your tongue. Other people have to tame their tongue too. It can spread and destroy relationships. A single comment, a careless insult, or a harsh judgment can set off a chain reaction that leaves devastation in its wake. Proverbs 16:27-28 says, "The ungodly dig up evil, and their lips are like a scorching fire. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. This is why we need to be cautious with what we say, because the damage of a careless word can spread faster than you can possibly imagine. James isn't holding back. He says, the tongue is also a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself a fire of hell. That's pretty intense. As I unpack this, James isn't just saying the tongue is dangerous. He's saying it's a fire that goes straight out of hell. Think about it. When our words are reckless, filled with anger, gossip, slander, pride, we are not just being careless. We're aligning ourselves with evil intent to destroy. We're speaking words that destroy, divide, and corrupt. Words that don't just hurt ourselves, but they set the course of our lives and others on fire as it spreads. Look at the damage that words can do. These are just three that I come up with. Many lives have been wrecked because of gossip. Many families have been torn apart because of anger, the words that we use in our anger. How many churches have been divided because of slander? How do we fix these things? One, don't be a part of it. Gossip, slander, those things. If somebody comes up and says, hey, you know what? I'm just making conversation here and I want to talk about something that I heard about this person. You would do? You say, nope. If it ain't building up, I ain't talking about it. If you're not praising somebody, you shouldn't be talking about them. Ever. Don't be a part of it, because then you put yourself in that evil that's coming from hell. Jesus says it this way, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings up the good things stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Your words reveal your heart. If your speech is filled with anger, pride, and destruction, it's not just that bad habit. Here's how I wrote it down. I love this. The tongue isn't just a muscle in your mouth. It's a megaphone for what's in your heart. The fire of our words don't always come from the outside circumstances. It's not always the outside coming in and attacking us with their words. Sometimes it starts in us. Because the world attacks us, what's in us, we're going to spore out when we get bumped. Like that cup. Our anger, if we got any bitterness, if we've got any pride. If we're not careful, we become our own arsonist. Burning down our relationships, our reputations, even our own future. How many times has somebody said something bad? Maybe somebody said something bad about you. And what do? You retaliate by saying something bad. You can't fight evil with evil. You can only fight evil with good. The tongue is a fire. Is it a good fire? Or is it a bad fire? The tongue is fire. But here's the good news. God can redeem it. We need God's help to guard our words. Psalms 141:13 says, set a guard over our mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. This isn't anything new. This is nothing new. These are things that have been written thousands of years ago. We need self-control and wisdom. Just like a firefighter controls the blaze, we have to control the flames of our tongue. We need to let God change our hearts, because the words will only change when our hearts do. If you've ever felt the sting of words, you know how painful it is. But God can transform your words into a weapon, from a weapon of destruction into tools of healing, peace, and love. Will you let the words destroy, or will you surrender them to God to bring life to the people around you? Man, I'm telling you, I've been in the recovery world, and I can tell you there's a root problem in a lot of people that find themselves in a time in their life where they've made a lot of mistakes, and then they come to a spot and they say, you know what, I cannot keep living like this no more. And what I have found through the years is that the root issue is that in their childhood and stuff, there was never words of life being spoken into them. There were only words that were destroying their identity, destroying who God said they were. Their identity was found in the person, not in the one who created them. And so they listen to the lies so much. And so the root of that is the words that we speak over that. Now, I've had to learn in my own time, because I didn't get that a lot as a kid. And so I found it hard as I was growing up in my addictions, that it was hard for me to speak life, because it didn't happen to me. And so I had to practice and really struggle. Like, when my daughter's around, I have to hug on her and love on her and be like, because, you know, because I want her to know that I love her. I don't want to just show it by action. I want my words to mean what I'm showing in my action. We talked about that last week. Faith without works is dead. I want my words to match my action. When I put my arm around my son and be like, I am proud of you and I love you. You know, those were hard things for me to say because I didn't have that growing up. We can change these things. We just have to surrender them to God. I love that. Because we are an AG church and we believe in the gifts. I believe in the gifts as your pastor. And one of those things that I've learned is the hardest thing to surrender. We can surrender little pieces of our life to God, but the hardest thing to surrender to God is the tongue. The hardest thing is to surrender this. And that goes into the gifts. I won't get into that. I'll do a whole sermon on that at some point. But we believe in spiritual gifts, and we have to surrender our tongue to God in order for Him to fill us with His Spirit so that our mouth becomes His mouth. Think about the wild creatures of the earth. The lions. Oh, did I read that scripture? I did not. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed by us, by people. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil full of deadly poison. Think about it. The wild creatures on the earth, the lions, the tigers, the bears, oh my, no. The lions, the tigers, the elephants, the killer whales, those are like my favorite, you know, animals. So these are the kings of the wild. Yet humans have found ways to tame them. With enough training and discipline, we can take a killer whale and do a trick in an aquarium. You ever been to that place? Pretty cool. Or we can even get a lion to jump through a fire ring at the carnival. But James says the tongue is different. It's like a wild animal that refuses to be controlled. It's relentless, unpredictable, it's full of potential and harm. We can train a horse to gallop on command, but we cannot train the tongue to speak life. Now, some of you might be in this room, you might be just natural as speaking life. Praise God. For some of us, it's not always that easy. If you have that, I'm not even going to call it gift, if you have that talent where everything that comes out of your mouth is encouraging, and it's loving and uplifting, let me tell you need to practice it, because we need more of that in this world. We need more of those encouragers, those ones who want to speak life and lift people up, because we know that the words are that important. Practice it. Use it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be shy from it. You could change somebody's life by the words that come out of your mouth. I don't know about you, but I can try to bite my tongue, hold back angry words, try to keep from gossiping, but sooner or later, those words and those things in my heart will run wild. Again, it's not just about trying harder, it's about the surrender. Only God can bring our words under control. Only He can change the heart so that our tongues speak this life instead of destruction. Verse 8, it is a relentless evil full of deadly poison. relentless. James paints a really vivid picture here. It's not just that the tongue can do damage, okay? It's that it's constantly looking for an opportunity to do so. It's like a predator that never sleeps, always waiting to pounce, waiting to defend itself. We've all been there. We say things maybe just once, but that word keeps echoing in our minds. Maybe that word was said to you and you can't break free of it. It's wreaking havoc. It's stirring up troubles. It's hard to get through it. But James doesn't stop there. He says the tongue is full of poison. It's like a deadly poison. And hear me, poison doesn't just hurt. It kills. It kills. Every single toxic word can kill a relationship with gossip, destroy a reputation with slander. Man, it drives me crazy. I'm not being political here, but you can't even watch the Las Vegas news without being torn down because of misunderstanding. Everybody has something to say about something. And none of it's lifting up. It's all tearing down. We learn these things because it's around us all the time. But if we call ourselves Christians, James is calling it out. He says, you need to be different. Control your tongue and you can give life. A single toxic word can destroy things. The slander rips apart people. It's bad. It's just bad. I'm going to say it. It's evil. It's not even bad. It's evil. We like to think our words are harmless sometimes. I was just joking. I didn't mean it that way, like I said earlier. They'll get over it. It'll be okay. They'll get over it. Go to bed. Wake up tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. It'll be fine. Poison doesn't stop spreading just because we didn't mean to spill it out. That's how our words work. We think that we have control. We think that we're making conversation, sharing an opinion, being honest. Oh, I was just being honest. And at the end of the days, our words aren't just words. They're either poison or they're medicine. 9:11, verse 9:11. Doing pretty good here. With the tongue we praise the Lord our Father. And with it we curse human beings who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth, praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? I don't even need to speak into that. But I'm going to. I call this the great contradiction of a Christian life. On Sundays, we lift up our hands and we sing, God, you are so good. You're the creator of all these wonderful things. And on Monday, we go down to tearing down our coworker at work because we don't like the way they do something. That coworker was created by God, and God makes no mistakes. We praise you for your goodness, and on Monday we tear down our coworkers with criticism. We pray, Lord, use me to glorify you. Use me, God. God wants to restore people. You need to understand this. God, Jesus, he's restoring a broken relationship between us and him. Okay? And if we want to glorify God, we need to be on that same page. We need to be a people that says, use me, Lord. He wants to use you to find somebody in your life around you that doesn't know him so that you can use your words to help bring them to God. Lord, we glorify you. Then we turn around and gossip around about our friend. We say something that's not uplifting about our friend. James is calling this hypocrisy. I think I shared this before. Hypocrisy is a word that the actors, the Greek actors in that time would use. They put on plays on the stage. And what they were called, the actors of those Greek plays, or the Roman plays, were called hypocrites, the guys who wore the mask, because they were acting. Are we acting? He says, this, are you saying, God, I glorify you, but then we turn around and tear somebody down? This that was created by him? It's hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is not good. You can't praise the Creator while cursing his creation. You can't love God while speaking hate to someone made in his image. You're walking through a beautiful trail on a hot day and you come across a crystal clear spring of water, fresh and pure. You're like, oh, this looks good for drinking. I'm going to go ahead and get a drink of this because I'm really thirsty, right? Now imagine stepping a little bit farther down the trail and you notice that the same stream, but this time it's full of sewage and filth and it's nasty and dirty. Would you drink it? It's the same stream. One part looks really clean, the other part looks really dirty. It's the same stream. You wouldn't drink from that part of the stream, but you'll drink from this part? That's exactly what happens with our mouth. We worship, we encourage, we pray, but from the same mouth, the same stream, the same mouth, we slander, gossip, tear down, and tell lies. Verse 12, my brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can the salt spring produce fresh water. In these analogies, these three analogies, James is driving home one of the most important lessons about our speech. Consistency matters. James is pointing out that just as nature is consistent in what it produces, nature is consistent in what it produces. Our words are reflections of what's inside of us. If your heart is pure, our speech will be pure. If your heart is bitter, your speech will be bitter. Think about it. If you walk through an orchard and you see a beautiful apple tree and you go up to it and you eat this apple and it tastes good and it's crisp and it's sweet and it's exactly what you would expect. And then the next day you go on the same walk and you go to the same tree and guess what? Now there's an orange growing on it. You would be confused. The tree was supposed to produce apples and not oranges. It's inconsistent. That's how our speech works. If we claim to believe and our words are full of gossip, slander, bitterness, there's a disconnect. We're like apples one day, and then we're like oranges the next day. It's inconsistent. Nature isn't inconsistent. We're not consistent with what we claim to be. And we find that the root of this problem is in our hearts. James isn't just addressing the symptom of our words. He's addressing the root. If your words are consistently negative, critical, hurtful, it's time to check the source. What is in your heart? There's a thing that's an acrostic, and it's called the heart check. And you can write this down if you're taking notes. And it's called heart. Acrostic. You know what acrostic is, right? A letter, a meaning, letter, meaning, letter, meaning. Heart. Are you hurting? Are you exhausted? Are you anxious? Are you resentful? Are you tense? Heart. Do a heart check. If you fall into one of those categories in your heart check, that's where you need to find healing in that situation. What's in your heart? What influences your speech? Are you watching the wrong movies? Are you listening to the news too much where there's so much, you know, tearing down and not lifting up? James is urging us to examine the condition of our hearts because our words reveal how we see God and we see others. Our true faith isn't about what we say. It's about an inner transformation that produces an outward change. Baptism class today. That's exactly what baptism is. We decide to be baptized because God has done something internally, and now we want to show it externally. It's an outward change. James isn't just concerned with our words, he's concerned with the heart behind our words. You know, you can have a really good heart and say something wrong, and you'll find more grace in it. But if your heart, if people don't say, well, you know, I don't, like I've had this said about me, I'm going to say it this way. I'll use me as the guinea pig here. Jeremy, we know your heart. We know you're passionate. We know that you love. We know that you do these things. But when you said this, it kind of hurt my feelings. But I want you to know that I forgive you and I love you. And then we can move on. Does that make sense? Because somebody knows my heart that I didn't mean to do it. But if you constantly do it over and over and over again, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to receive the grace and forgiveness that God wants to give from person to person. He's concerned with the heart behind what we say. Our words come from our heart. And if our hearts are transformed by the gospel, it will reflect how we speak. A heart that truly encounters Jesus will speak love, grace, truth, and the truth of Christ. It will reflect his character. How many people need some of that in their lives? You know, it's funny. We find ourselves becoming like the people that we're around. I can be like this on church Sunday. I can be like this on a Wednesday night with the kids ministry, but then I can also go to work somewhere else, be around my coworkers that do all these, say these bad things, do all this gossiping and talk about people behind their backs. But I can very easily become like them too. And then find myself back over here on this side again on Sunday. No, this has to be a lifestyle. Every day, the words that we choose can build life or take life. Our words are powerful. They shape how others see us and see you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be around a complainer all day long. Right? I want to be around somebody who's going to speak life. I'm like, man, look at that guy go, man. He's like, man, you can't even take him to the restaurant because he's like telling the waitress that she's amazing and you're the best waitress in the world and God's got a plan for you. Yeah, I want to be around somebody like that. Not the person who says, well, you know, my kids are over here and they're doing this and I'm doing that. And my, you know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. If our words are full of praise for God and love for others, we reflect his character. We reflect his character. If our words are filled with bitterness, anger, hatred, we represent God to the world. If you're a follower in Jesus, these things should not be. As we reflect on this, I want you to ask yourselves, what fruit are we producing with our words? I believe today can be the day that we ask God to do a deep work in our hearts, to transform our speech, to purify our hearts, and to make us consistent in what we speak to others. Whether they're people we love or people that are really hard to get along with. Because it's easy to love and say good words to the people we love, but can you do it to the people that are a little bit harder in your life? Maybe that person that's constantly saying poison out of their mouth and trying to destroy things. Imagine what a good word from you could do to that person. Examine your hearts. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for everyone here today who does not yet know you. I ask that you open their hearts to the love and truth of Jesus. I believe you died for their sins and rose again to give them a new life, to give them new words to share. And I pray today that we and they would choose to follow you and receive your forgiveness, to receive this heart change and experience the hope and peace that only you can provide. So again, with every head bowed, every eye shut, if that's you today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to be able to change the words all on your own. It takes a power greater than yourself to do that. It takes a love stronger than the love that you can share with anybody else So if that's you, you can raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Thank you. Thank you. So I need you all to pray this with me. I confess that I'm a sinner. Help me turn from my ways. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again. Give me hope of eternal life. Today I choose you, to trust you, to give you a new heart. Thank you for loving me and saving me. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. And for the rest of us, let's continue the prayer. Father, we come before you today, acknowledging that our words often fall short of the reflection of who you are. We confess that we've been using our tongues to hurt or criticize or tear down and to misinterpret. Father, please forgive us for these things. We ask that you search our hearts today. We invite your Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. Help us to speak with love, with grace, with truth, reflection, reflecting your goodness in our lives. Lord, we want our words to build up and not tear down. We want to speak the goodness of who you are, not our bitterness. We want to speak life and not destruction. So today we surrender our tongues to you. We can't tame them on our own, but with your help, we know that our words can be instruments of peace, healing, and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's leave here today. I'm going to challenge you, at least every day for the next week, find somebody and speak life into them. And I want to put that on the wall right there. Speak life. We need more of that in our world, right? God is good. God is great. Next week, we get to change gears a little bit. Wisdom. Wisdom. We have baptisms next week. Baptism class following right here in a few minutes, right in my office. Please get to my office. I'll take you through baptism class. It'll help you understand what this big decision that you're going to make. We celebrate that. Next week, we are going to celebrate that in the tank. You're going to get wet. It's going to be amazing. Please invite some people to witness this. Invite your friends. Invite people next week. Let's fill this place up. And I need to say this too, in the following week after baptisms, it's not our only thing, but Dr. Samuel, our assistant superintendent, will be here, and he's doing a installation service for my wife and I, which means it's completely official after that day. And so we've done the vote, we've been here for a while, all this stuff, everything's been great, it's been good, and our superintendent's going to come out and do an installation service. I think I told you guys he's going to make me wear a suit. So you'll actually see me in a suit for once. But it's going to be great. So we love you guys. God bless. Speak words of life, please. You're dismissed. Thanks.